Students who are high achievers in the classroom crave opportunities to advance their studies and pursue their dreams in science, technology, math, and English. Advanced programs for the gifted and talented are for the few, the passionate, and the academically elite. In the body of Christ, however, everyone is gifted and talented. That's because the Holy Spirit, according to His will, entrusts every believer in Jesus Christ with at least one spiritual gift so that Christians can serve the common good in the church. A spiritual gift is a special enabling of the Holy Spirit. Have you discovered your spiritual gift? Have you come to a definite and earnest decision about the faithful stewardship of your spiritual gifts and talents? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Maybe the place to start is by learning a little bit about each of them. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. God's Word divides the spiritual gifts into three distinct groups: sign gifts, supporting gifts, and serving gifts. Ron takes a look at all three today as he moves ahead in his teaching series, I Resolve. Be sure to visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the entire series on demand on your schedule. Again, that's somethinggoodradio.org. Now, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good radio message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Talent.
Back in ancient times and during warring times, the army that conquered the other army would take people prisoners and capture them and cut off their thumb and one of the toes on their feet. Well, without a thumb, they weren't able to grab a weapon. And without all five of their toes, they weren't able to march as well. And so it is in the body of Christ. There's nobody that is indispensable. Just because somebody has a big mouth like a preacher or can sing a song or do something very visible, that's no more important than somebody who's shaking a hand at the door or rocking babies in the nursery or you name the place of service that is needed. Here's the problem that I see happening in a lot of churches, and it's true of us to whatever percentage and extent you want to guesstimate. But if the church is the body of Christ, and it's kind of like the human body, a lot of churches operate like spiritual amputees because there are certain parts of the body that are not in operation and are missing. You see, the Holy Spirit chooses your gift. I think the Holy Spirit even guides you to a particular local assembly, where in His sovereignty and according to His will, He sees the collection of spiritual gifts in that place. Remember, the same kind of difference in me. And He wants an expression in that local assembly. But the problem is there are too many parts of the body that are sitting comfortably in the pews and taking it all in and not serving. And we're like a spiritual amputee. We're like an amputee with one leg trying to run the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. And you just can't get there because there's a hand over here or a leg over here or an eye or a mouth or a little bitty thumb or a little bitty toe that either hasn't discovered their spiritual gift or, having discovered it, has decided, I'm not going to deploy it. I'm not going to get involved for the common good, for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, have I created enough angst in your spirit? Hopefully it's the Holy Spirit who does that, but let's move on. Maybe you're asking the question, Pastor, all that is great, but I need a definition of a spiritual gift. What is a spiritual gift? I'm glad you asked. A spiritual gift is a special enabling, maybe even a supernatural enabling is a way to express it. A special or supernatural enabling the Holy Spirit gives to believers in order to build up the body of Christ. Now, whenever I talk about spiritual gifts, the question that often comes up is, Pastor, what's the difference between a natural talent and a spiritual gift? Again, I'm glad you asked. You may look at me or any pastor like me and say, well, you have the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching that kind of looks like a natural gift of teaching you could use in a university setting or on a speaker's bureau or something like that, and you're absolutely right. The difference between the two, in my estimation, is the spiritual enabling, the special enabling of the Holy Spirit, who takes what looks like a natural talent and anoints it and enables it in a way that it yields a spiritual result and a spiritual impact. I could go out on the speaker's tour, I could do time management seminars, all kinds of different seminars in the corporate world, and probably do a decent job of that. I mean, I've been speaking for 25 years, I've developed that talent over the years, but it wouldn't have the spiritual impact that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of that natural talent and enables it in a spiritual and supernatural kind of way. Likewise, there are some gifts of the Spirit that sound very spiritual. you don't think of miracles and healings and speaking in tongues at a corporate seminar. I get that. But sometimes there's this gray line between natural talent and a spiritual gift. It's all about the Holy Spirit's enabling. Now, having said that, let's get specific with some specific gifts. And there are four passages of Scripture in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts and list out specifically those gifts. That's Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm not going to take the time to read through all of those texts. Do that at your own liking. But when you read those, and no passage has a list of all of the gifts, you compile the gifts from those four passages, and you come up with your list. And I want to categorize all of the gifts from those four passages into three areas. What we call sign gifts, supporting gifts, and serving gifts. And let me talk about each. First are the sign gifts. These are gifts of miracles and healings, the speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Some even say, a supernatural word of knowledge or wisdom that you might have. How are we to understand these sign gifts? They're called sign gifts because they were used purposefully during the apostolic era as a sign that authenticated the message and the messenger. Now, there's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of debate among good, godly people that debate whether or not these gifts are operative in the church today like they were operative in the first century. And there's no reason to get mean and nasty about this. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 comes between 12 and 14, and Paul intentionally put it there. So let's love one another, even though we might agree to disagree. At this church, though, and you may remember not too long ago when I was teaching through the book of Acts, chapters 1 through 12, we touched on this matter of what was unique and purposeful during what we call the apostolic era. I define the apostolic era as the time of the apostles. I'm not Apostle Ron. It would be wrong and unbiblical for me to call myself or present myself as Apostle Ron, because the definition of an apostle is somebody who has seen the risen Christ. And during the apostolic authority, when the church was just getting started, and when this Bible that we hold in our hands wasn't even written, the New Testament wasn't, they didn't have 1 Corinthians and Romans and Galatians and the full canon of Scripture, the apostles showed up and spoke in apostolic authority. In other words, they said, we've seen the risen Christ with our own eyes. We are eyewitnesses of his majesty. Throughout Jesus' ministry and even the apostles, the question kept coming back from the religious leaders, by what authority do you say the things you say and do the things you do? Theirs was apostolic authority. We've seen him, we're eyewitnesses, and during that time, God kind of supercharged and authenticated their authority with signs and wonders and miracles. It's not that God today cannot do signs and wonders and miracles. He can do anything he wants to do. The question is it necessary? And I say, and you can go into the scriptures and find evidence of this, but that there was a time when these gifts would fade. Some would cease on their own. Why? Because the church was beyond the apostolic era. It was now growing up. We had the full canon of scripture. I don't speak in apostolic authority. I speak with biblical authority. This is not Ron Jones's best advice about things. I'm saying this on the authority of scripture. Scripture they didn't even have at that time. And keep this in mind, too, when it comes to signs and wonders and miracles and all of that. Again, God can do anything he wants to do at any time, anywhere, any place, and through whom he wants to do it. But he always wants us to believe by taking him at his word. Not because we saw some, you know, divine manifestation of some miracle. And if there's any miracle that's going to encourage us to believe, Jesus said, look at my resurrection. He pointed to the sign of Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, just like the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth and then rise again from the dead. You don't need more of a miracle than that. To believe is the idea.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, so don't go away. SomethingGoodRadio.org is the place to go to hear any of Ron's messages on demand. That's SomethingGoodRadio.org. When you come see us, check out our digital library. That's where you can search for answers to some of life's most challenging questions. Answers Ron has put together during his more than 30 years of teaching God's Word. You can also stream on demand, absolutely free. How's your prayer life going? Maybe you've become a little complacent. Do you find yourself spending all your time talking about what you want, what you need, how you feel, and skipping right over the part where you used to praise God for who He is? Thank Him for His grace and mercy, and pray for the needs of others. If so, maybe it's time you went back to the fundamentals, to the way Jesus taught us to pray. That's what Dr. Ron Jones has done in his latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. This outstanding resource is available now at somethinggoodradio.org. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend and request a two-pack for $50. Get a four-pack for $75 or an eight-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Let's get back to the rest of today's Something Good radio message, resolving the stewardship of your talent. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
So the purpose of the sign miracles was to authenticate things during the apostolic era for all the reasons that I just said. I know there's a lot of debate in the body of Christ about that, but that's where we've historically been as a church here at Atlantic Shores. The second group are the supporting gifts. I could also call these the equipping gifts. These are the gifts of pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, and prophet. And they're mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul also mentions them in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says, God has given to the church pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets. Now listen to this. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Over the years when I've had an opportunity to sit down with a pastor search committee, if I was, you know, moving from this church to that church, I always have a lot of fun by asking that esteemed search committee, so what again is my job description as the lead pastor? Well, pastor, we're hiring you and paying you to do the work here. You know, it's that kind of an expression. And I just smile and very gently say, no, you're not. First of all, I'm not for hire. That's called a hireling, and you don't want to, you know, a hireling will be gone at the most immediate expression of, you know, conflict and all of that. Jesus warned against the hireling. You're calling a pastor who's been called of God, gifted by God, with one of these supporting or equipping gifts. pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet. And my job and the job of the pastoral staff is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, because this is a all-hands-on-deck operation. All hands, all eyes, all ears, all lips, all thumbs, all little toes. Everybody needs to get some more. And God has given to the church, this Holy Spirit has gifted some to serve in these supporting roles, these equipping roles, to get everybody else out of the stands, as it were, and onto the playing field. Does that make sense? Most times in our culture, these supporting, equipping gifts lead to a vocational decision. That's not true across the world and other cultures, but oftentimes it is in ours. Then the third category are the serving gifts. Gift of administration, encouragement, faith, giving, hospitality, leadership, mercy, service, wisdom. I may have left off a few there. This is the vast majority of people in the body of Christ, finding one or more gifts to serve the Lord and to serve the body of Christ, to build up and strengthen the body of Christ. And that's how the church operates. We're not a human organization. We're a living spiritual organism led by the Holy Spirit who has gifted us. He's given all the gifts that are necessary for a church to thrive. But the sad reality is most churches are struggling to run the race with endurance because too many parts of the body aren't showing up or are comfortably sitting in the pews. So where do we go from here? What are we going to resolve to do in this new year? Well, we're going to resolve to be faithful stewards of the gifts and the talents that God has given to us. Where do we begin with that? Number one, we want to discover your divine design. I resolve to discover my divine design. You know, one of the greatest discoveries of life is how God has wired you, how He has made you. Maybe you've been working in a vocation or serving in an area in the church where you are so unfulfilled, you've just had it. You've been down that road before, but somebody stuck you in the corner with two-year-olds, and that's the last place you want to be, and you're not going to go down that road again. No, we're here to help you discover how God has wired you, how He's gifted you. You will find no greater joy, no greater peace, no greater thrill in life than to operate and to function within your area of giftedness and your passion. So first, we resolve to discover what that is. Maybe nobody has ever sat down with you before and helped you discover you. I think, and this is a whole other subject, this is a parent's job too. We've worked hard as parents to study our kids and to find those unique areas God has wired them, their personalities, their temperament, their passion, natural talents, yes, spiritual gifts, the whole package. Help them come to an awareness in that. Some of you have never had anybody do that for you, let alone, you know, a church. So discover my divine design. Secondly, I resolve to deploy my gifts by serving the body of Christ. You know, this is not just head knowledge. This is something we put into practice. It's hands and feet. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, Paul says, let us use them. Let us use them. And I'm going to encourage you to make that resolute decision, that definite and earnest decision to say, this is the year. This is the day I stop sitting on the sidelines and watch other people get blessed by serving. And if that doesn't encourage you to, just remember, this is a sacred trust. God has gifted you. He's given you a gift and expects you to use it in the body of Christ. One day, you and I will stand before Him, and He'll say, what did you do with what I gave you? And if we're like the guy in Jesus' parable, he says, well, I took it and I buried it in the ground. Well, that won't be a very good conversation between you and the Lord or me and the Lord if we do that. No. Given the differing gifts according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Something Good radio message called Resolving the Stewardship of Your Talent. And I'm pleased now to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. Ron, I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering how they can discover their spiritual gifts. Maybe they're new Christians. Maybe they've really never intentionally tried to find out what their specific gifts are. What practical tips can you offer to anyone who wants to discover or maybe confirm his or her spiritual gifts?
That's a really great question, Brian. There are five practical questions each of us can ask ourselves that really go a long way in this regard. I'd say the place to start is by finding out what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Remember, the Holy Spirit gives these gifts, these spiritual gifts, to every believer in the body of Christ according to His will. So asking the Holy Spirit is the best first step. Now, to do this the right way, you've got to get into the Word of God, and you've also got to spend some real quality time in prayer. A great way to get going is by reading those key passages of Scripture in the New Testament that sort of list and outline the spiritual gifts. I'm talking about Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Get familiar with all the gifts and then begin to ask specifically about what your spiritual gifts are. Now, the second step is closely linked to the first, and that is, as you study God's Word, what gift or gifts resonate in your soul? You may be interested in several. You may seem to have some talents in several different areas of giftedness, but which one or two really hit home to you deep down in your spirit? A third question is to ask yourself, what do I enjoy doing? Believe it or not, whatever your spiritual gifts are, you'll find deep satisfaction and even enjoyment when you operate in those one or two areas of giftedness. Here's another really good one. As you involve yourself in the local church or in other church-related activities, what ministry of yours does God seem to be blessing? Now, that can often tell you what you're particularly gifted at doing. And finally, find out what gifts other people see operating in you. God often speaks through wise counsel, other members of the body of Christ. So that's yet another way to discover your gifts, or to maybe confirm what you yourself have come to believe by answering the other questions I just mentioned. What you'll find by taking these five steps is that one or two spiritual gifts will begin to stand out above the rest. It will very likely take some time and perseverance, and it will take some time to develop that gift that you discover. But as you pursue this with consistency, God will reveal the answer to you and use you in a wonderful way to bless the body of Christ.
That's great advice, Ron. And it's so important because, as you said earlier today, the church is like the human body. We need each part working together for the church to be as healthy as it can be. Coming your way tomorrow, Dr. Ron Jones' message called Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure. What's in store for us, Ron, as you continue your series, I Resolve?
Well, Brian, so far we've talked about being good stewards of our time and our talents. The third and final area in which God asks us to be good stewards is, you guessed it, our treasure, our money. So we're headed for the subject that can sometimes ruffle a few feathers, right? But let me say something, and I want all of our listeners to hear this. God does not want something from us. He wants something for us. And when you think about it, it makes perfect sense, does it not? God doesn't need anything from us at all. But we surely need plenty from Him. And as we begin to be good stewards of what He has given to us, it is we ourselves who are blessed when we give, often in ways we could never have imagined. So tomorrow, we're going to get into things like tithing and giving and using our money in a way that honors God and putting God first in our finances. But keep in mind that this is something God wants for us, not from us. That's a critical idea to hold on to over the next couple of days.
That's tomorrow when Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, Resolving the Stewardship of Your Treasure. Join us then for Something Good And now for Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.